local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
We are 1 hour away from Eddie Griffin ticket giveaway. Two tickets, one pair of tickets to see Eddie Griffin, April 13th. Hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline in an hour. 916-339-1140. Chris is picking the number today. You want to pick it now or you want to pick it later?
I'll pick it later. Yeah, I don't want I don't want anyone, you know, sources finding out or anything like that.
You know, we got sources here.
Yeah, we
definitely have sources. And apparently there are sources that say that Jimmy Butler, all right, Jimmy Butler might not be finishing his career with the Miami Heat, as he has said that he wants to. Is this based on Kendrick Perkins? We haven't really heard too much else, but Bovada has already come out with odds. And interesting enough, the Kings are number three. Shortest odds to land Jimmy Butler. And I don't know what that means. Mm-mm. I don't know what that package looks like. And I'm telling you right now, there's no way this gets done without Keegan Murray. So why are we even having this conversation?
Can we try and get it done without Keegan Murray?
You can try. You can try to sell me.
Here we go. Let's do.
I'm Pat Riley.
All right, hold on. I'm gonna.
My hair's slicked back now.
It looks great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is that what is that? Is that pomade in your hair? Yeah, wow.
It's
it looks
something.
Fantastic.
It's true.
You look tall.
To just stay like
okay. Why'd you have to go there, man? They're on me on the YouTube.
That's
chat
a
as
low
well.
Blow.
While you're figuring,
dude,
this
you
out,
said 6 feet under, and I was like, come on, Alan. What are you doing?
What? That's where they send you. What, you saying I could stand up in my casket?
6 feet, man.
You're getting a lot of love in the chat too, Alan, for your post today.
Hey,
congratulations, man.
Shout out to career growth, all right? 916-339-1140. Chris, while you figure that
please
out, let's go to our guy, Steven, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Steven? You know what it is, Styles and Watkins. What you got for us?
Am I still on a minutes restriction or what?
Actually, I forgot. Nate needs to see, because I'm getting Ron Burgundy here. I forgot you were in timeout, but you're here now. So
I didn't even
ahead
screen his
I'm
call.
Here now. It would be rude and unprofessional for you to hang up on a caller.
That's right. That's right. You know, but if you say you know the magic saying words, I will.
Nate, have that jump button ready, baby. No, I'm kidding. I'm not gonna do it.
All right.
I kind of wanted to get on. Sorry, we got a bunch of work going on here. I just wanted to bring up the point about the Pro Bowl and the All-Star games and stuff like that, right? So I watched a little clip the other day that showcased all the quarterbacks doing the longest throw competition.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that?
Okay? Yeah.
I want to see Brett Favre and Jamarcus Russell, like how they used to, throw the ball 72 yards on a single knee. Like, can we see some of that action again?
Yes.
Like, those skills competitions, I want to see defensive linemen do 35 reps of 325. You know what I'm saying? Like, they used to do dang near combine stuff for the Pro Bowl. And honestly, I don't know why they went away from it, because that was prime Pro Bowl stuff. They don't go to Hawaii anymore like they used to, because it used to be, you know, just the big bright lights of, you know, the Honolulu, I guess.
Right.
But, dude, that was my point, man. What happened to all that? And could we get back to that aspect? Instead of, like, trying to be, you know, like the new greatest thing, let's create a new idea or something. Like, dude, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, because that was some of the best Pro Bowls I've ever seen, honestly.
No, thanks.
Hey, that Sean Taylor hit
happening anymore. That's not happening. Thanks for the call, Steven. Yeah, I mean, you could make the argument, because I was going to say somebody chucking a ball as hard as they could. Are there injury concerns? But again, if you're playing flag football, that is just as sketchy to me as this combine type stuff and running. And because, you know, Cheetah was trying to race a bunch of people all the time. So fun things like that, where there could be an argument about injury. I think that you can make the same argument about flag football, because to Nate's point, that's not necessarily something that you practice and do very, very often. Yeah, I hear you on that. But getting back to Jimmy Butler, and Kendrick Perkins had audio yesterday about moving Jimmy Butler that we played. Basically, they're not going to make a run with Jimmy Butler. They're not going to get to the promised land, but they're not going to win with Jimmy Butler. So now the conversation is, well, where is Jimmy Butler going to go? The New York Knicks have the best odds, then the Sixers, then the Kings. He'd be great. Let me say it like this. His personality would be great in Sacramento. I don't know if he fits what the Kings want to do, but his personality would be great in Sacramento. Next, you have the Brooklyn Nets. Then you have the Mavericks. Him with Kyrie would be a nightmare. And actually, Luka might need somebody like Jimmy to tell him stop complaining.
Jimmy don't like that. I don't know. No. That sounds like a Minnesota situation part two there.
Yeah, and the last team on the list, the Golden State Warriors. Chris, did you come up with something to convince me
I'm
Pat Riley now?
So. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if or how many picks would need to be involved in this, but I got at least a trade that would work, and it does involve a name that Kings fans probably aren't going to be excited about. But if you're looking to take this next level, these are the kind of risks you got to take, or at least be willing to part with. So I've got a couple of all-reliable pieces in there. I've got HB, his $17 million contract. By the way, the toughest part about this is matching Jimmy Butler's salary. $45 million this year, $48 million the following season. Then 2025-26, he has a $52 million player option. And he will be, at that point, he will be age 36. He'll be going into his age 36 season.
I'm out.
Making $52 million. And again, this is a risk, but you're getting Jimmy Butler for about 3 years here. You're trading off Harrison Barnes in the 3 years remaining on his contract. You're trading Davion Mitchell and the $5 million on his contract. You're trading Chris Duarte in the 2 years of $4 million left on his deal. And the piece that I don't think Kings fans are going to like, but it's required, because if you're not going to give up Keegan Murray, Malik Monk and his $9 million brings that to a total of $36 million, which is enough to complete that deal straight up for Jimmy Butler.
One more time.
Harrison Barnes, Malik Monk, Davion Mitchell, and Chris Duarte for Jimmy Butler. Potentially another first-round pick on top of that if you feel like that's not enough, but that would probably be the package that you would have to
build. So you keep Herder.
You would keep Herder. Your starting lineup at that point would be Fox, Herder, Butler, Murray, Sabonis. You would have Keon Ellis as your backup point guard. You would have Colby Jones as your backup two, I guess, in this case. This is about raising the ceiling. It is definitely not helping out your floor. Your bench contributors would probably be Trey Lyles. Sasha would get an elevated role. Colby Jones probably has to play some minutes. Jordan Ford might get some minutes. But you're really relying on your starting five at that point, which is okay. There's a lot of teams don't rely on their depth, but you're banking on top-end talent really coming through there.
I'm not the biggest Jimmy Butler guy as far as on the court, so I'm going to say it's a no for me, dog, but I'm sure there's someone out there. I'm sure there's people out there that wouldn't.
It's definitely a no for me, dog.
Is that from you, Nate? Or is that from Randy Jackson?
That's from Randy and Allen.
That's okay. From Randy and Allen.
I think that it's definitely a really big risk because of Jimmy's age. And getting rid of Malik, again, we've talked about it in the past, but that's got to be if you feel confident that you can sign Malik Monk and you have confidence from hearing from Malik, not just internal confidence, then I think it's tough to move on from him. But if you have no idea, if you truly are like, hey, Malik just kind of told us he's going to play out this year and we'll talk in the offseason, I think you've got to consider it. I think just off of the risk of potentially getting nothing back, you're trading off Harrison Barnes. If you're trading Harrison Barnes, you're not going to get a better player than Jimmy Butler or even, Jeremy Grant and Kyle Kuzma. I would say, even if you don't like how Jimmy plays, those guys are just a little bit at best below Jimmy Butler. So you're getting max value, I would say, for HB. Davion's probably gone after this year anyway, and Duarte has been he's been useless to Mike Brown. He doesn't play him if he's not starting. So in my eyes, you're getting
what a crazy It's insane. Line you it's just insane. Said.
Yeah.
He doesn't play him if he's not starting.
If he's not starting, he just doesn't play. And even when he does start, he only gets like one stint. And it's like, we're not going to do that again. So, I mean, in my eyes, you're really only giving up. You're swapping HB for Butler, and you're giving up on Malik Monk.
That's well done. That is well done.
Yeah.
That is well
and that's,
done.
Again, that's not including first-round picks if Miami would
well,
want
you know it. I don't care about picks. Yeah.
Well, the Kings should.
But they should.
They should.
From the 209, I'd roll with Monk and Duarte. Did not expect to see that. I forgot Duarte was on the team.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm saying no. I guess why am I saying no if I forgot Duarte is on the team?
So is this more of a Jimmy Butler thing for people?
For me, yes. That same 209 says Jimmy Butler is massively overrated.
I think personality-wise, and you said it, you even admitted to it, I think Jimmy Butler is the perfect, from Mike Brown's perspective, is the perfect personality. And I think, you know, I think people might be a little scared off of his time in Minnesota, the outburst, if we'll call it that he had in Minnesota. But I think a big part of that was Jimmy Butler read the room and said, there's no dogs in here. Mm-hmm. And if anything, it's a really good detector to have, because I would love to know if Jimmy Butler feels out the Kings for a couple weeks, or even if it's for a half a season, and if what he would have to say about, okay, like I can roll with these guys, or nah, like we got a bunch
of
puppies.
But that's not
how
it works. You don't get a you don't get a sample and to say actually it's not going to work. Because then what do you do? Because
you do what
like-
he did in Minnesota, and you raise hell out of practice, and you pretty much say trade.
Yeah. Have you heard that story?
It's great.
Jeff Teague tells about
phenomenal
about Jimmy Butler coming into practice angry, taking the scout squad, the backups, and crushing
everybody,
the starters.
Everybody.
If you haven't heard that, look that up. That story is awesome.
And that's the kind of thing that the Kings need. Again, Mike Brown has been calling out the internal leadership. It led to the whole podium gate thing.
No, I hear you.
I don't think that we have to ever question accountability or toughness, or, you know, Kings sleepwalking against Memphis or getting beat by Portland. And I know Miami's on a 7-game losing streak right now, but I think if Jimmy Butler walks into a situation, I think he's going to be on 10. I think he's going to say, this is my last chance realistically to win anywhere. I'm not going to allow the other people to screw this up.
Basically.
And there's a give and take with that, because Jimmy's not Michael Jordan. He is not going to come in, and he's not going to be, I mean, he's going to be incredible.
Well, there is
but
a rumor.
He's not. I've seen that before.
There's a conspiracy theory.
But, like, Jimmy's not going to come in and be LeBron James. Like, he's not going to come in and be head and shoulders. De'Aaron Fox is probably still going to be the best player on the team. But I think Jimmy Butler just helps so much from the attitude perspective. It gives this team an edge and a bit of accountability that they just don't have.
But I don't know if I need Jimmy on the team, or if I just Jimmy.
I like the idea.
After Jimmy's done playing, he could actually just be a consultant.
Yeah.
And you pay for
the
Jimmy
UD
to
role.
Come in and you just, hey, Jimmy, I need you to sniff out how many dogs we have on this team.
Yep.
And Jimmy just goes from team to team. He got to go. He got to go. he got to go. Yeah. You can stay with him. You can roll with him.
You're cool.
You got. I'm looking here, Vivek. You got about 2.5 dogs on your team.
Yeah.
Got to start all over. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, continue with the conversation about Jimmy Butler. Do you want him in Sacramento? But at what cost? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
A story that we had brought up on this show last week is continuing to evolve. So I mentioned this last week where the TCU women's basketball team, due to injuries and players being ineligible, they did not have enough players on their team.
Yeah.
So they held open tryouts. Well, Chris, turns out that they ended up they had to cancel games, right? So they had to cancel a game on the 20th. They just couldn't play. They didn't have enough players, right? They canceled two games. So they hold open tryouts. And as we know, a lot of different people, when they go to school, they're pretty good players.
Yeah.
And they just decide, either I don't want to do the work or I don't think I'm good enough, whatever it is. So TCU holds these open tryouts, and obviously you have to be enrolled at TCU.
Right.
Turns out the Horned Frogs found out they had multiple state title winning players enrolled on campus as normal students, and they have been signed as walk-ons. This was last week on Front Office Sports. They beat UCF 60-66, and they just lost to Texas on Saturday, Texas Tech, 65-71. So they're competitive.
Yeah, they got real players.
They got real players
just
hanging out. You might just fall into an NIL deal, and you were just in school.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, for all those people out there that played intramural, I feel like you know that, though. You've been like, excuse me, what is this fool doing not on the team? Why are you – and, you know, I know it was the ladies' team, but it's like everywhere has so much talent, and, you know, kids – They give up for the reasons you listed, like you think you're not good enough or you're just done with the sport. I mean, there's so many people just sitting there in college campuses who could definitely help, and that's crazy.
It's pretty nuts. It's pretty nuts to
– You said at TCU?
At TCU, that's Big 12. That's Big 12 basketball. That is Big 12 basketball. I'm trying to confirm because it was posted last week, but I don't see how they sat two games and then they beat USF. So some of those walk-ons must have been playing.
They must have been.
They only ran out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They only ran out 7. So
I guess maybe they didn't have to then. But
right. But I don't think that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. This is right here. TCU hosted open basketball tryouts in the middle of the season due to injury. A 6'3 sophomore from the volleyball team showed up, and she made it this week, a month after volleyball.
6'3?
This month, or this week, a month after volleyball ended, Sarah Sylvester began her college career as a college basketball player.
How does that work for like eligibility? Like if you were a sophomore on the volleyball team, does your eligibility, like would you still be a sophomore for the basketball? Does that make sense? Is that a dumb question? Like do you have 4 years of basketball eligibility on top of your volleyball eligibility? Or
no,
does it all kind
I,
of
I
leak
think
over
all,
into
Well, I
each
think they're
other?
Different clocks. So that's, you know, the Brandon Whedons and Russell Wilson.
Right.
So they're different clocks.
So you could play.
So she's a sophomore, but she's a freshman.
Right. That was my
as a basketball player.
That's insane.
If she wants to be. Yeah, it says that game in UCF, they were missing 4 starters. So I would assume.
Yay.
And they were on SportsCenter about this. So I'm assuming that they had some
that's
of these
crazy
walk-ons who weren't even playing just out there. Just out there doing their thing. All right, getting back to the
Ohio State probably just has like a football team that could probably compete for like the 2A title. Or
oh
whatever.
Yeah, something like that. So shout out to
casually
TCU
on campus
women's basketball. You never know what
shout
you
out,
got just walking around campus.
Yeah.
707 wants to talk about Jimmy Butler. That's a HE double hockey 6. Yes on Jimmy Butler. If it could be done without Murray, it's a no. Brainer. You know what, Chris?
We didn't talk about that from Miami side. Is that good enough for Miami?
I don't think so, but now that it's now that I know it's not, he's got the Kentucky connection with Tyler Hero, but and
Malik and Bam.
I feel like we can Malik and
two
Bam.
Kentuckys.
Right? But you said
and
Fox,
Tyler Hero. There's another Kentucky.
And Tyler Hero. That's
3 Kentuckys.
Of them. But do we have to keep doing the Kentucky thing because there's 8,000 of them in the NBA?
No.
That's just what it
no,
is
it's just
right
a
now.
Random coincidence.
I don't know if – why would the Heat do that, right? So who's your number one now? Who's your
number
one?
I mean, you're transitioning to the Tyler, Bam, Hawkes era. Like they just got rid of Kyle Lowry the other day.
You can't do that after going to the finals. That's the problem.
That's what I would say. But if they just feel like overall they're disappointed with where they're at this point, which I think is the 7 seed in the East, they're like 2 games I think above 500 right now. I mean, it just kind of depends on where they feel like they're at in their timeline. If they feel like this is the end of the timeline, and you're probably not going to get a better deal for Jimmy next year, then I could see how, you know, you'd rather, what's the Bill Belichick thing is, I'd rather get rid of somebody a year too early than a year too late. And Heat culture is you know, a bit about that as well, where it's like, hey, that's, it's not, it's what have you done for me lately?
But you're Miami, you can get free agents, and Jimmy Butler has already said he wants to retire.
Sure.
A Miami Heat.
Yeah, no, it's a matter of if they feel like Jimmy Butler's at that level of being a star, the number one option on a team, though, because I don't know. You know, it's kind of like the Warriors, where they're a bit in two timelines, and it's like you can either really try and get all you can out of this run with Jimmy, or you can trade off Jimmy or Clay or Steph or Draymond, and you could start to usher in those younger guys into, hey, Heat culture for the next 10 years instead of it possibly being over in two or three.
Heat culture never ends.
I think it could. I think it could. Like, I mean, you know, you take Pat Riley out of there. You got UDs out of there now. You know, it's just kind of
Spo. Where's Pat Riley going?
No, I mean, he's celebrity birthdays. How old is Pat Riley? How old is Pat Riley? I'm saying 80.
Didn't he recently plus? Have a birthday?
Sure. Pat Riley, 78 years old.
Oh, he's got time.
Okay.
That's
I mean, he's like constructing the teams. How old Bill Belichick in
72?
Pete Carroll just quit.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, they couldn't keep a finger on the pulse the same way anymore. I don't, you know. Pat Riley's literally an NBA lifer.
Yeah.
So, you know, at some point you gotta hang it up at some point.
Right.
I would
think. All right. Gotta get to a break. When we get back, the Kings Roundtable with our Sactown Sports Kings insiders, Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Kings Roundtable is coming at you right now for the next hour. Frankie Cardicelli, Brendan Nunes, our Sactown Sports Kings insiders. Fellas, how you doing? I see, Brendan, you got the Niners hat on.
Oh, yeah.
You were in the building.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Great time. Great time. You know, I'm having a great time. Can't complain, man.
Good.
Just living my best life.
Good. Niners win. Kings 4-game winning streak. Frankie, how you doing? Yankees, you're wearing your Yankees gear. Yankees are the Yankees. That's always good.
They are. Almost spring training, you know. Mm-hmm. Almost spring training. No, I'm doing good. Brennan, how was it experiencing that game? I mean, mixed reviews on going to games. Like, when the sun went down, was it better? I mean, because, again, the only game I've ever gone to at Levi's Stadium was during the day, and I got just completely just destroyed by the sun.
Yeah, it's only the second time that I've been at Levi's, and definitely a little bit of tough sun at first, but it was cold, so I could just kind of take off a layer and then, you know, do all right. And as the sun went down, the game got a little bit better and, you know, had a few more beverages potentially.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I stayed a little warm.
That's how you know? Stay warm.
You considered leaving, didn't you?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. No.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
See,
okay.
You can tell that this guy's a bandwagon fan.
Well, you
don't have to worry about
the
that.
The Vikings?
You don't have to worry about that.
Where is the wagon? I don't know
fan.
Where the wagon is. So I was in the media room, and everyone is just silent as a mouse in there anyway.
Yeah,
so you
yeah.
really couldn't tell. But it did feel like the Lions, there was always that glimmer, right? And when they didn't get that fourth and two, it was the first two sequences in that second half. I think everybody felt, you had Journey playing. Everybody felt like, let's see what happens on these first two drives from the Lions and the Niners before it's really done, right? I mean, everybody was saying it was done, but I don't think it was always, I mean, there are only a couple scores, but it was that those first two drives in the second half, at least that's what it felt like. They weren't done.
Yeah, the Don't Stop Believing really started it,
mm-hmm.
you know? That halftime performance, it was just so picture perfect. Not a great performance, by the way.
Okay.
Wow.
They didn't do
wow.
it. They didn't do it like on the that? Field. They did it kind of like
no,
off
looking.
To the side.
I couldn't see where they were.
It was super weird.
Yeah.
Super
they put,
weird.
They put
I was
in
really
corner?
Excited yeah. to see Journey.
No one puts Journey in a corner.
It wasn't great.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
Well, I'm glad that the Niners figured it out. We are headed out to Radio Row next week, so we will be live and in the building in Vegas. So we got you plenty of different guests that you will hear from. But now it is King's Roundtable, and let's get straight to it and continue the conversation. This is probably a moot point because you got to consider who the source is, but there are Jimmy Butler conversations now being had. Chris cooked up a deal that I think most of us would be okay with. Even if you're not the biggest Jimmy Butler guy like me, the question is, would the Miami Heat want to do it? And essentially, it was Malik Monk, Harrison Barnes, Chris Duarte, Davion Mitchell, and was there anyone else, Chris?
Nope, that was it.
And a pick, possibly, right, for Jimmy Butler.
First question.
Yeah.
This is just kind of taking into account that the Kings, in this scenario, would just they don't feel confident they will be able to retain Malik Monk.
That's what I said, pretty much, yeah.
If you're at that point, and again, the behind-the-scenes conversations got to a point where, you know, the Kings know to a certain extent what they can offer Malik Monk. Like, they kind of know what the maximum they can offer him is. And if he's saying, you know, I'm going to go play the field, yeah, I mean, I'd be intrigued. I mean, I know, Brendan, I think you're definitely a Jimmy Butler guy, I think.
Absolutely.
So you're fully on board, right?
Yeah, I love Jimmy. I feel like me and Chris have had conversations about, like, who's pie in the sky, guy not available right now but could become down the line that'd be perfect. And we both mentioned Jimmy Butler as, like, that sort of guy, right, Chris?
Yeah,
like, I mean, I think that the energy that he brings to the team, we talk about, like, an accountability and leadership on the court, right? And coming from a guy that is a key contributor, I think is exactly what Jimmy Butler brings. And while the three-point shooting isn't great, I think he does enough to get by in that aspect. He's an extremely smart player, really versatile on defense.
He makes them when he needs to, threes.
And, you know, he doesn't have to have the same production for the entire game when you have Fox and Sabonis out there. You know, I think that he is a really good, like, 2A, 2B on a team.
Yeah, I think on his bad nights, he's doing what you want HB to be doing. Like, there'll be nights where you look at Jimmy Butler and you look at his stat line and it's like, how did Jimmy score 12 points and have, but he has like 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He dove for loose balls and he probably made the biggest stop of the game or hit a really clutch turnaround jumper. He's the kind of guy who you just, every coach would want on your team and say, that is a winning basketball player. I trust that in the final moments of the game, that dude's going to make the right decision and probably be somewhere where no one would expect him to be and make the right play.
But the same way you sit there and say, LaVine, Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, does that move the needle in terms of a championship, right?
Yeah.
Butler, Fox, Sabonis, does that move the needle in terms
of
a championship?
He's way better.
Yeah. I think so. I mean,
and I just use LaVine as an example of the guys that have been floated around.
And the kind of guy that Jimmy just is, too, having a guy like that in that lineup, man.
It's literally what they need.
It's what they need. I mean, and we've talked about, I mean, again, like last summer, it was like the Draymond Green conversation. There were a lot of people that were open to the Kings bringing Draymond Green into the fold. Jimmy Butler is not quite to that extent, but he brings that edge, and he is also still a very talented basketball player. And he can do a lot more than Draymond Green. I mean, not quite a knock on Draymond Green. Kind of is, though. But it's Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. But again, you have to take into account the money, the age. I think he's 34.
Yeah, 34. And by the time his contract's up, you'd be making $52 million at 36.
When does that contract end?
So he has this year at 47. The next year is at, he has 2 more seasons after this.
So that kind of would go
hand in hand. But it's a player option for that second
year. That also would go hand in hand with Keegan Murray, who again.
Right, that's a good point.
That's
right.
The biggest caveat. And like even like Bobby Marks from ESPN, he's like a salary cap expert for ESPN, had a point. And a lot of people have made this point already, but I listened to his
Kings, little trade prepper or whatever
trade, it is. Yeah, Kings trade deadline like preview. Kind of saying that they have to kind of take that into account. Like, do they want to be paying 3 max contracts? And then you have to figure out Keegan Murray. Like, well, if you have a contract that aligns with Keegan Murray's free agency, that might be the best scenario. And again, for someone who probably will be over the hump by the time his contract is over, Jimmy Butler would be a very ideal piece. Now, again, I don't think Miami will move him. Like, all of this being said, I doubt Miami will move him. They have a winning record. They've lost 7 in a row, but they just traded for Terry Rozier, which makes me believe that they are still trying to make a move.
That's a good point.
I can't see Pat Riley waving a white flag at this point, but if they were, you know, this losing streak goes to 10, 12, if it got exaggerated, you know, exaggerated, I would be a fan of that.
I'm not against the move. I'm not against Chris's trade proposal, but I don't think it moves the needle that much, if that makes sense. I would do the deal, But I wouldn't wake up in the morning saying the Kings have a real shot at this. I guess I'm just
low on Jimmy.
What's your hesitation? I'm just curious.
I just
Marcus Morris moves the needle.
What if they got both?
Now we're talking. If you got both, no. But come on, look. I'm just low on Jimmy, the basketball player.
Okay.
I understand. I think you guys are getting caught up in the Tobias Harris over me. And the Kings do need that.
But that's
that.
His attitude.
But the Kings do need that, though.
When's the last time Rachel Nichols has been at a Kings practice?
This guy's crazy.
I don't know.
You never know.
I mean, well, how about the fact that Jimmy just lifted his team from an 8 seed through two rounds and took a Celtics – or no, he went to the finals. I mean, he took that Celtics team to 7 and went to the finals. Like, and that was him. That they didn't have Tyler Hero last year.
That is what they need. I'm not saying don't do the deal. That deal. Don't touch Keegan. No Keegan.
No Keegan.
Okay.
No.
Jimmy Butler.
I think that we're looking at potentially the blueprint. You bring in a guy whose contract expires and maybe the prime of his career expires before Keegan Murray reaches that point. That might be the new plan. I mean, maybe that's something that Monty McNair's looking at. But I think Jimmy Butler fits that bill. I don't know who else fits that bill as far as who's available on the trade market. Like, again, a Paul George maybe would fit that if he wasn't going to be leaving L.A., which it sounds like he'll probably re-sign with L.A. Kawhi Leonard just did. They have a new stadium opening up in the fall. But, no, Keegan Murray needs to be a focal point of this team. Like, we've seen, the defensive metrics are there. He is a two-way player right now.
Oh, no, we saw the isolation percentages when he is the isolated defender. It's really starting to look like he's going to figure this thing out. Defensively, look, all I'm saying, I'm not saying don't do the deal. What I'm saying is that you're going to get some great years out of Jimmy. He's going to give Sacramento hope. He's going to help the team mature. But it's going to end, Frankie, and depending on what Keegan is at that point, you're going to have to find somebody else to really put you in that conversation. Jimmy makes you a legit playoff entity, but I don't think you're going to win the whole thing adding Jimmy. But I do
get
think
a lot
he,
closer.
But I
he's
do
your
think,
Aaron Gordon.
But I do think he helps to mature the team and whatever that contract is. Okay, so now De'Aaron's in the heat of his prime. Keegan starting his prime. You still got Sabonis. You're gonna have to get somebody else. What I'm saying is this is the next phase. This is a phase to me. This isn't championship phase.
But how else do you get to that? You need a bridge, if anything. Like I mean you have to.
I'm saying it's a bridge. Which, others are not.
That's fair. And I think that's fine, though, is that you
okay,
can
but
go.
But I don't have a problem with that.
Right. Because you can go. They got the Nuggets. I know it's just the parallel we keep drawing to, but I think
you
that
love
it's
Aaron
fair.
Martin.
Bobby
love,
Marks brought it up.
I would you rather have fair. Jimmy Butler or Aaron Gordon? Or Dorian Finney-Smith? I'm kidding.
You know, probably Jimmy between all of them, really.
Yeah.
And I think that they went and got Aaron Gordon during a deadline, I believe it was, and then waited an entire year before they went and got KCP in the middle of a season. Mm-hmm. You know, you have Jimmy locked up. I think that Frankie's point of lining up with Keegan's contract and his rookie deal makes a lot of sense.
That's a good point.
And, you know, it's the first step. It doesn't take you to a championship team.
Okay, we can agree
But it's
on
that first step. Say you go get a Dorian Finney-Smith also or a mm-hmm. Kyle Kuzma, you know, guys that maybe won 2 first-round picks if you could still make that work with what you have left or something small, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. KCP sort of level, right, if we're going with that. Like, I think it's fine that it's a first step.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, we bring things back to reality, and the reality of the conversation is the Sacramento Kings hold an all-time record of 5-30 in Miami. Do they break that or get to 6 today? Styles and Watkins with the Sacktown Sports Kings Insiders. We'll be right back.
This is Sacktown Sports.
15 minutes away from our Eddie Griffin ticket giveaway. A pair of tickets to see Eddie Griffin at Hard Rock Sacramento. Thanks to Live Nation, who has teamed up with Sacktown Sports. That's in 15 minutes. We'll let you know what caller in 15 minutes, 916-339-1140. By the way, you have a question or a comment for the guys, Brendan Nunes, Frankie Cardicelli, our Sactown Sports Kings Insiders. Guys, just quickly, from the 916, we were talking about the Joel Embiid situation earlier and the 65 games, yep, and Tyrese Halliburton's not happy, Draymond's not happy. Solutions, can we get some solutions? 916 says, can I get an explanation to why NBA players can't restructure a contract? I don't know if that they're saying based on the how much they play or how much they don't play, but I would just say it's probably a logistical nightmare.
I would imagine so. I mean, yeah, right. I mean, right now in the middle
if
of everything,
if you play a certain amount of games, but well, I do think they have incentives like that, right?
Right, they do.
Just the problem is they make too much money either way.
Have you guys talked about that this morning at all, or have you started that conversation? Because we were talking about it. Brendan and I were talking about just like what is the easy solution, is to bump it back or bump it, I guess, forward.
62, yeah.
We
60,
talked for like 30 minutes. Yeah. So I don't think we came up with
60
a better
feels
answer.
Low.
Yeah, like I don't know. I mean, 17 games, though, I guess, to be fair, isn't really that much time missed. Like, it's not like, I mean, that's not even 20. Like, if you say someone misses 20 games, that sounds like a lot, but I mean, 17, so do you push it back just to 20 or 25?
Yeah,
and call
62,
it good?
So maybe 62 is where it is. And, but to Chris's point, it's just like the All-Star, and there's always a snub. Someone's going to play 61, and he's going to have the best stats, and he's not going to be eligible. So someone's always going to be unhappy. But yeah, maybe if you went to 20, are we not having this conversation if there were three more games?
Right. Like, I don't think that
probably
changes
not
the conversation. Yeah.
Right.
Probably not. But no, again, it's tough. There's a lot of talent in the NBA right now, and people are going to get passed over for stuff like that. I mean, and people are going to try to push themselves through ailments they probably shouldn't be playing through, because, I mean, personal accolades, I mean, people might say, well, it's the name on the front that matters, sure, but I think it got pointed out that this is costing people money. Like, I think Tyrese Halliburton's going to miss out on, I think, $40, $50 million
that's
on his
the
next
big
contract.
Problem. That's what I was going to say, is the big problem is the fact that it's tied to your money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
like, you can't have these awards and games played end up affecting how much money you can make in the long run.
Yeah, the whole name on the front argument, it's like, okay, that's great, sure. Yeah, the team winning matters most. I understand that. But
these guys are trying to put the name on their backs.
They're trying to set up the rest of their lives. Yeah. Yeah, and you're costing them money because they're going to play in 64 games and 65. It's just, I don't know. It's just kind of interesting.
I never pieced together how it goes hand in hand with the year that they dropped the rule of star players have to play if they're healthy. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like, and I never noticed this at the moment, that it's just another effort to get star players on the floor mm-hmm. as much as possible. And pushing to even through an injury, you know, at times, I think is fine. But if it's a night that medical team said you probably shouldn't, but you're really trying to work to get to that bigger contract, like, that's a tough spot to be in. And I liked the rule when they first dropped it. I think it could be lowered a handful of games. I also think that voters can just factor it in themselves.
We talked about that, yeah. We talked about that. Yeah,
you know what the real joke is, too, of all of this? Is me and Alan were talking earlier. All of this really did start because of Kawhi. Funny thing is, Kawhi has played more basketball this season than he has all year long, right, all career
so
long,
that,
pretty much.
So that's why.
That's the inverse of this thing doesn't work. Well, Kawhi Leonard has played 41 games so far this mm-hmm. year. So, you know, it's clearly working for some people.
Yeah. And then for Adam Silver, and Chris reminded me of this, to come out last season, I think it was during the All-Star break, and say, we don't have a load management issue. And then enter this that rule funny. That makes absolutely no sense. There's always going to be somebody upset about the amount, and, you know, now they all got microphones, so they're going to be saying a bunch of things as well. The bottom line is just, we all know what we're trying to prevent, okay? How it gets prevented seems to be the issue, and there's just going to be nights, I don't know, is there a sign-off with the training staff to where the training staff works for the team, not the player, and now you have
independent doctors even
right,
to sign
or the
off?
Training staff says, hey, this person is good to go, this person is not.
Doctor's notes.
Seriously.
Yeah, actually,
and if it does get signed, it does not count against you. If it doesn't get signed and it was, hey, I think he's good, then it's like, hey, brother, this person who went to school for a very long time says you're good to go.
But then there's also, I mean, there is HIPAA. Like, you can't disclose all of your medical information
it's
out
a
there.
Mess.
Like, it can't be completely public. So
it's a mess.
It's a slippery slope that they've definitely stumbled into here. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, because it seems like one of those things where no matter what you do, you're going to upset somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sam Amick wrote a piece in this as well. I think he was last night. He was at the game at Chase Center. And it sounds like, and again, I'm not sure if it's confirmed or not, that the NBA Players Association wasn't even briefed on this. It just kind of was put into effect.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like that's something that might have to happen in order for this not to get messier. For all these questions we're kind of going through to get answered, I think the players in the league need to come to an agreement and like be on the same page, because right now they're just not on the same page at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something Kelly Oubre was saying last night, just that we never heard about it, and just saying how people are going at Embiid for missing the Sixers Nuggets game, like how he's getting a lot of flack online.
That's something different.
But he's clearly hurt, and then last night he tries to play and gets hurt, and
But Frankie, Nick Nurse said it was a separate injury.
Separate injury, but he was laboring before. He shouldn't have been out there to begin with. Were you watching the game?
I actually can't tell when Joel Embiid is or isn't healthy.
I agree.
Last night he went to the locker room for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And he clearly was not right. And I think someone else in this piece too that, you know, probably wouldn't have played if it was not for the 65 game rule. Like he's trying to win his second MVP, and he probably would be deserving of it if he played, you know, more than half the season.
I don't think that's why he didn't play. I think he didn't play because of the cyberbullying. Joel Embiid, the way he's pacing, there was no way he was going to stay. He was going to get to 65.
No. Yeah, and we talked to the Philly guy. What was that? 2 weeks ago, and he said pretty much the same thing, that Embiid had given up on the 65.
He wants
games,
the big
and this
one.
This is about the playoffs.
He wants the big one. There's just so many different layers to this, and that seems to be the issue right now. Guys, just to pivot to the Kings and their game tonight. So we've had these conversations about they hadn't won. They had lost how many straight to the Sixers? They had on the road, or just in general?
I believe it's 12 in a row.
Same thing with the Bucks, right? Mm-hmm. The Heat, the issue is just playing in Miami. Frankie, you put out a tweet. They are 5-30 in Miami. I don't know if the Kings have broken any of these bad streaks this season. Here's another opportunity. The Heat are laboring. They could come out shot out of a cannon tonight. What do you think happens in Miami?
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, all the Miami flu jokes are everywhere. I mean,
Chris loves a Miami flu joke.
Had a full off day yesterday.
Wednesday. But it's Wednesday.
It does not matter.
It's the end of January.
You think they weren't excited? Middle of a road trip?
Come on.
G-Man posted that they didn't get into the hotel until like 3:45.
I did see that.
Yesterday
So they
morning.
Could just go straight
no
to see Lil Boozy like I did.
I feel like this isn't that kind of team, though. It doesn't seem like the kind of team that would have guys out late in Miami. Like, I know for a fact there are a handful of guys on the team that don't even drink. So, like, I just feel like this isn't really that kind of team.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think it really matters with that. It just kind of is like one of those weird anomalies. And, again, like you mentioned, the Kings have had these kinds of games before. They had a chance to break, I think, a 17-game losing streak to the Bucks this year. That didn't happen. And, again, you're playing a Miami team who is, I don't want to say, like, desperate, but they're playing with, you know, a very high sense of urgency. Losing seven in a row after making a move to bring in Terry Rozier, which is a clear buy move. They're going to come out and play very, very hard and aggressive tonight. I think Spoelstra said they had a very
long, intense film session,
and he wouldn't elaborate and say, like, it's none of your business what we talked about when we pinpointed to the media. He's like, it's all due respect, none of your business. So I think it's fair to expect a very high intense game from Jimmy Butler, who, again, is Keegan Murray going to be the player who picks him up? Because watching them go back and forth is going to be hilarious. Maybe could be Jimmy Butler's kryptonite, because I don't think Jimmy Butler's going to be able to break Keegan Murray. So,
no.
Interesting matchup for sure. A very good temperature. Just check on where the Kings are right now. A chance to win 5 in a row. Start up the road trip 4-0. But yeah, that 5-30 is just really insane to look at.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a scary one for me. I think this is going to be a close game. Miami's half-court offense really struggles throughout the course of this season, and I think the Kings have kind of shown a trend. You go back, I mean, to that, obviously, that first quarter in Memphis, where you give a team that's not very good offensively a little bit of hope, a little bit of life on that end. They see a couple shots go down, and they could have a solid showing on that end. So I think the Kings need to be locked in pretty early on defensively, not turn the ball over to make things easier for Miami on the offensive end. And I think they'll find ways to score. I know Miami's okay on that end. Bam is really elite, and obviously Jimmy there as well. I think the Kings will find ways to score. It's just I hope they can kind of set a tone defensively early and not have too many turnovers in this one.
We were talking about the Bam versus Sabonis thing. Was that yesterday, I think? What are your guys' thoughts on where those two fall in the big man rankings? Because especially last year, they were kind of the third-team All-NBA center battle was pretty much between those two. And they really do play really similar styles, especially offensively. Defensively, Bam's known as a little bit better of a defender. But, yeah, we know a lot of Heat fans, and or a couple Heat fans at least, and we've heard, you know, there's a lot of, I don't want to say fraudulent accusations, but a lot of people say, hey, if you watch enough Bam, you'll get frustrated with him. What are your guys' thoughts on Bam and more so how it compares to Sabonis?
Yeah, I think that's definitely what a lot of people have said. It's like last year, I remember bringing it to a couple Heat people of like, I mean, the Kings would be way better if they had Bam instead of Sabonis, right? And I thought it was an easy yes. And everybody's like, I don't really know kind of what you're saying, that there's a lot of inconsistency from Bam, specifically offensively. He can settle for that mid-range a little bit too much and just does not have the same processing speed as Domas. And obviously, they're night and day on defense as well. Bam is elite there, and Domas has made progress, but still isn't a very good defender when it comes to the center position that's so important. So I think they have different skills. I think Domas is better currently. I think he's just more consistent is really what it comes down to.
It's not close.
Maybe I'm a big defense guy, but like Bam's defense is a big difference here. But you're probably right. You're probably right.
Hey, top, not this season.
Right.
12th and off defensive rating over the past four games. Kings, maybe. Yeah. Stoppers. Sure. Stoppers.
You know what I was just thinking about? Terry Rozier has already cooked the Kings in a different jersey.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't Charlotte on the losing streak at the time?
Yes.
Sure. I believe so.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Safe guess.
It's like a second year in a row they've had like
a safe guess before.
Long losing streak, and the Kings have been the team that the Kings are often the team that helps teams break losing streaks. So, slump busters. Not to be negative, but it is a little reason to be a little alarmed.
Yeah, well, got to get to a break. I have based on what we're saying, I have a thought.
Okay.
And I want to see where both of you land on said thought. And Chris Watkins already knows what I'm talking about. And don't miss, when we get back from the break, our Eddie Griffin ticket giveaway. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.